Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
It's hour number three, Barton Hahn. And we're going Han Solo for this last hour. That's right. For everybody that's in New York, you remember there was a time there where I actually had a show by myself. It was just a couple of years. It was on at night. And we called it Han Solo, and I just ran solo. And a lot of times I would just spend the time talking with you, the caller. So that's what we're going to set up. We're going to do it that way. A little Ask Alan. Han Solo for the rest of this show. So the number is 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And I kind of leave it open-ended, like ask me anything. Now, we haven't really talked a lot of NBA lately because this is a really big NFL time of year. It's December football. We have week 13 and some compelling matchups and games. So there's obviously a lot of that to talk about. But I know a lot of people always say, I want to talk some basketball with you. So, of course, we'll open it up for that as well. Ask Alan for the rest of the hour. Sal Palantoni is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. Always great to have Sal on and get into all the things that he's looking at for this coming week of games as well. But Barton Hahn, Han Solo, presented by Progressive Insurance. We want you to think O'Reilly Auto Parts for your car care needs. They're close, convenient, known for guaranteed everyday low prices, and excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. You hear the music. I got a good feeling about this. You know what I mean? A good feeling. So we get these calls stacked and racked and ready to go. But last night, week 13, for the Bills, it was a methodical win, 24-10 over the Patriots. And coming out of the game, it just feels more about a Patriots issue, which is the offense, and Mac Jones looking frustrated. They're 6-6, and you know, I had a tweet earlier from Kevin Lynch, who tweeted at me, and he said, if the Jets even just had capable quarterback play, the Pats could be 4-8. At very least 5-7, right? Like at the very least they'd be 5-7 if they just had capable quarterback play. So they'd be already under 500 and feeling like they're out of it. And it really makes you wonder, like, where are they? But on the other side of it, like I said, it's the Bills. And the Bills and a methodical win for a team that just continues to win. And Josh Allen, I tweeted it last night. I mean, that sideline throw. He was in beast mode. And you see, I mean, just shoving off a linebacker who's bearing down on him, tiptoeing the sideline. So you got the power, you got the finesse, and you got the arm. And you could just see why Josh Allen is very much in the MVP conversation. But Johnny in Jersey wants to talk some Bills with us. So let's begin with him. Go ahead, Johnny.
Hey, Han, first time caller. Nice to be on.
Oh, thank you.
I kind of struggle with how, you know, the narrative was that, you know, Buffalo, as we've gone through this stretch lately, the past 4 weeks, you know, Josh's elbow, the injuries that we've been ravaged with defensively. It was almost like that was another story. We were still expected to have this high standard of winning, and, you know, we were just getting by some teams. And it sort of seems like since we've gone through that, everyone is sort of saying that Kansas City now is like the team to beat the AFC again. My argument with that is that we have been decimated, not only with injuries, but, you know, the fact that we were playing rookies in the backside of the defense. We've been pretty much down at almost every position from the linebackers and secondary. Hyde is out for the year. But we've still managed to win these games. And now that we're getting healthy again, you know, and then I look at Kansas City and I go, you know, they can easily have lost five games to the Cincinnati Bengals and Buffalo. If you look at the last three games they played us, we beat them last year 38-20 in the regular season. Should have beat them in the playoff game, no matter if they won or not. That was a win if we managed that properly. We beat them this year, all in Kansas City. And then the Bengals beat them twice last year. So I'm just sitting here saying, like, well, listen, taking nothing away from the Chiefs, they're a great team, but are they the benchmark?
Yes, and I'll tell you why. And I get everything that you're saying. It's the same reason why when a Dolphins fan calls up and feels like the Dolphins and Tua be disrespected. It's because it's always going to be about demonstrated performance. And the Chiefs have demonstrated that they get with this, obviously with Patrick Mahomes, with Andy Reid. They have already demonstrated they can not only get to the Super Bowl, they can win it. Like, they've already demonstrated that. So the pedigree's already there. So I already have the trust factor in them that they can do it. Now, I look at the Bills and I say, okay, they have demonstrated that they can play a toe-to-toe, unbelievable battle into overtime in a big game in the playoffs. So I feel like, all right, that puts them at the tier, but they're not above the Chiefs because they still have to do it when it matters most. I'm not saying they can't, but what I'm saying is that I reserve that judgment because I need to see it when it matters most. And when they went through a little bit of spell there, losing to the Jets and the Vikings, in your head, you're thinking, well, what's going on here? They're starting to turn the ball over. Josh Allen doesn't look right. The injury's starting to mount now. But you get White back. You hopefully get Von Miller back at some point. But you're right about the injuries. And I just need to see, okay, we've been waiting since last year for the Bills to come back to a playoff game, go toe-to-toe, and this time walk off the field with the dub. And when they do, that's when the respect climbs a little higher. The same thing goes for the Dolphins. The Dolphins fan that called was like yesterday or earlier, and they're like, you know, we're not getting any respect. What respect are you looking for? You are never going to be put ahead of the Chiefs and the Bills in the AFC until I've seen Tua and company do it when it matters most. That's just reality. That is not disrespect. People aren't hating on you. The national media hates us. They don't believe in us. Listen, the problem with a lot of fans is you're listening to too many damn podcasts that are just fans sitting in a basement talking about how great their team is and projecting all these wonderful things. We love that. It's comfort food. Tell me how good my team can be because it makes me feel better about being a fan. What happens on the national scale is you get reality. You get the context of, I'm not a fan, I'm watching, and if I'm impressed, I'll tell you. But if I'm not going to put your team at a higher level based on these points that I just made, and you don't want to hear that, oh, you're hating. No, I'm just not going to wave a pom-pom for your team until I see more evidence to believe in them. That's it. It's not hate. It's simply reality. But I think today we get so caught up in podcasts and everything else that fans are doing that get them so jacked up about their team. Well, you have to understand, from an aerial view, 50,000 feet, your team looks a lot different than it does when you're sitting in your basement. And I don't mean that disrespectfully, because I think it's fun to have podcasts and have your fans talk about your team and all that stuff. I'm just telling you, the idea of disrespect to me is overblown these days. Respect comes from demonstrated performance. We continue with some calls here. Michael in Miami. Go ahead, Michael.
Hey, I totally agree. I'm a Dolphins fan, okay? I totally agree with you. The playoffs make respect. When you're in the playoffs, that's where you gain your respect.
That's right.
Okay? When you make it to that level, you gain respect. But I have to disagree with you because Bart Scott, and you can relay this from me to him, sits in his little basement with his little buddies just trashing the Dolphins because he's a Jets. He used to be a Jets player. I get it. It doesn't affect me. And I went to all my Dolphin brethren, let's wait till it all plays out. Then you can worry about respect because it's true. We haven't done squat in 20 years, huh?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
And the truth is, now they're in a position to do it. And I just think that there's a lot of people that are very impatient, if you get my drift. I don't want to mention one thing.
You're right about the impatience part of it. We're all waiting. We all want a microwave success. Like, we all want it to happen right now. And if it doesn't, then we flip out about it. And you're right about that. Now, Bart isn't sitting in a basement. He's sitting in a studio with me and doing this. And it's for this, you know, for here and obviously on Get Up. But no, but what you're saying, though, is half right. He's a Jet. He's a Raven. And for him, he's going to hold you to a higher standard. Like, for me to give you credit, you've got to really capture my attention.
But you know what he does? I have no problem with that. But Bart, you can't do that in your basement and then go and on your podcast and start just totally like flipping the switch. He's in the studio. He's very gracious. he has his opinion, and I respect his opinion because he used to be a great football player for the Jets, even though, you know, I'm a Dolphins fan. But you know what? That's what these people look at the ESPN show, and then they watch Bart, you know, just lose it. And he was talking over some of the callers on your show, mm-hmm. and I was like, let the guy talk.
Yeah, well, that happens.
To be very, yeah, be fair. Listen, be fair. Let's play it off until the playoffs, until it's all played out mm-hmm. and stuff. Because even Diggs last night, I know this was on a little a snippet, but he was saying to somebody else, I want the Dolphins, which shows that it's truly competitive and it's wild out there. It's very rabid. Even if you're an NFL player, just social media just makes everybody froth at the mouth.
This is the best part of the year, and what you want and what now you have with the Dolphins, and obviously the Bills fans have had it for a couple of years, you're in it. Like, this is the best time of year to be in it. Like, for me as a Jets fan, I look at it like, when was the last time in December I'm, like, excited about the games coming up? I haven't had that. And in this division, aren't we all in agreement? Love seeing the Patriots just falling apart. Love it, because we've had enough of them winning. So that's the one thing we can agree on. But that's, you know, again, that is the way it goes when it comes to the national coverage, is I need to see it. And when you see it, like for instance, Michael, and thanks for the call. Last year, Bart had a hard time giving Joe Burrow and the Bengals credit. Why? He's a Raven. And he would call them the Bungles and all this stuff. And no, I'm never, they'll find a way. They'll always find a way. That was Bart's take, because that's just how he is. But once they got to where they got, that's when he said, you know what? I respect it. He had to respect him. He had to point out that this dude's the truth. Like, he had to do it, because he said, yep, they showed me. And that's where you want it. To me, if I'm a fan, I love that more than getting mad. Oh, you don't believe in my team. No. It's more like the, all right, tell you what. When they do it, I can't wait to see your face. It's why Cowboys fans love tuning into First Take on Victory Monday. Because you know you're going to get two things. The preacher, Michael Irvin, and Stephen A. looking depressed. That's what this stuff's all about. It's fun. We continue with the calls. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. Bart and Han, presented by Progressive Insurance. For a job you love, visit progressive.com/careers. All right, it's a little Han Solo here, a little Ask Alan. We go through the calls with you. And let's continue with them. Let's see. Who is Indeed in North Carolina, Indeed.
Hello, Mr. Han. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you?
This is Indeed, man. I'm calling on behalf of the Green Bay Packers defense.
Okay.
And I need your co-host, Bart Scott, to go there and become the defensive coordinator. We can't stop, in his words, a nosebleed.
Yeah.
We have the worst rushing defense. Our linebackers are looking in the backfield instead of pulling guards to the play. I have no idea what's going on, but Joe Barry needs to go.
Yeah, Barr wasn't thrilled about the Joe Barry hire. I know that. I obviously he's got Mike Pettine, is, you know, somebody that he has known well. He wasn't thrilled about that hire whatsoever. There's a lot of things with the Packers that you have to look at this coming off season. And while they had to make some decisions financially on defense, I think it's also, once again, in the draft, you continue to scratch your head and ask those questions about how are they building this team. You have an old, by the way, Aaron Rodgers 39 today. You have an old quarterback, and you need to have, with a guy like that, a win-now roster. And that question is, of course, are they win-now? Let's go to Rich in New York. What's up, Rich? Rich, we got you. What's up? All right, Richie, we lost you. We go to New Orleans and talk to Marcus. What's up, Marcus?
All right. Who's going to win a championship next, the Pelicans or the Saints?
Great question. How about I ask you? I'm gonna ask you before I answer it. Which franchise could you envision winning a championship? Not first, cool. Just winning one, the Saints or the Pelicans?
Well, I mean, I saw the Saints win one, so if I erase that and talk about futures, I have to say the Pelicans.
That's fair, but I think in the NFL, it's a lot easier, is the wrong word to use, more likely to see the Saints win a Super Bowl because, A, I actually think their defense, for the most part this year and recently, they've had a Super Bowl caliber defense. Their offense is a mess. It's a mess because there's no Drew Brees, because Michael Thomas is hurt again, in and out of the lineup. Losing Sean Payton has been a major impact that maybe no one thought would be that much of an impact, but it is. Like, that's the problem. So, but the Saints, it's like, you know, one or two things and you can get it right pretty quickly. Pelicans are, I love that team, but the NBA getting to a championship game, that's still a relatively young team, even though I know McCollum is there and he's made a big difference just presence-wise. We know what Zion can be, but the question is always, can he stay healthy? Brandon Ingram also has a bit of those questions as well. To me, it's always about what can you – can I see it happening? I just don't know if the Pelicans are a team that I would say I could see them as a championship contender. Is that enough of a – if they're enough on that roster to do it? Because you're talking about that's a tough run to get to the finals. And while they're really good, are they great? I would say no. So if you ask me who could I see winning it first, I'm just going to go with the Saints. That's my easy answer. Now, we talked about something, you know, again, we get the calls racked and stacked and ready to go. 888-ESPN, 888-729-3776. As we're going Han Solo this hour and Bart and Han, ESPN Radio. We just talk about the Bills win, and we're just talking to a Bills fan earlier, just concerned about why the Bills don't rank just as high as, you know, Kansas City when it comes to championship caliber. On the other side of things, it's what the Patriots look like now and how fast things have fallen apart. And are we that surprised when you think about Tom Brady left? You know, we talked Packers. That hesitation to move on from Aaron Rodgers is because of what you're seeing in New England. What you're seeing in New Orleans that I just talked about with no Drew Brees. You know, that those things, when you lose quarterbacks at that level, Ben Roethlisberger, you know, the wheels fell off, he retires, and the Steelers, do they know they have a quarterback in Kenny Pickett? Do they have any idea? Do they think he's the guy? They don't know. Look at the Falcons. The Falcons have been very competitive this year. Matty Ice has moved on. And although Matty Ice had nothing really left in the tank when he did move on from Atlanta, and you can see that in Indianapolis, but they don't know. I mean, Marcus Mariota can't be their quarterback of the future, can he? Desmond Ritter's not the quarterback of the future, is he? So you've had this sustained success with these quarterbacks that have been MVPs. And when they move on, it's that purgatory that you hate to be in, that perhaps – while the Patriots thought they had something in Mac Jones last year, he played better than any of the other first-round quarterbacks. He got his team to the playoffs. So maybe they found their quarterback in the future. But when you're looking at the Patriots now, you see a lot of frustration. In fact, it's almost apathy. I dare say it, because Patriots fans have had a 20-year run of dominance, and they could puff their chests out. But last night, they weren't in their own building. That was a methodical win by the Bills. And as a Jets fan, I don't mind saying, is this the end of the Patriot way? But don't let me tell you. Taylor Twellman, who, as you all, we all know, he's a soccer expert here. He's our guy for the World Cup. But he was on Get Up, and he knows the Kraft family well. He knows the Patriots very well. And he wanted the opportunity to rant about what he saw last night in Foxborough. And I felt like this was pretty compelling stuff.
Gillette Stadium last night was dead. There was no energy whatsoever. There's no energy around the Patriots right now. And a lot of this comes off. And I understand, but when you watch, a lot of it comes off of Patricia and Judge. I get that. And Mac Jones isn't playing well. This team looks like something that Belichick has never done in his entire career. And yet when you tell the quarterback after his rookie year, where everyone on this network was telling me he's the next best thing, he's coming off of Josh McDaniels, and you hand him Matt Patricia and Joe Judge and then tell the fan base, let's get excited for this. They are in purgatory with the direction they're going, and they have nowhere to go. They're not going anywhere. Season's over. Done. Bye. Gone.
It is over. The Patriot way. Done. We'll ask Sal Palantonio about this and more coming up next. This is Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Thank you. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Bart and Hahn.
Hey, hitting hard on a Friday. It's Bart and Hahn, presented by Progressive Insurance. We want you to think O'Reilly Auto Parts for your car care needs. Are close, convenient, known for guaranteed everyday low prices, excellent customer service from professional parts people you could trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Sal Palantonio joining us now. Always a treat to have Sal on with us. Of course, you know him as ESPN reporter covering games and also on analysts on some games on ESPN Radio. Host of the NFL matchup as well. Always must watch. Sal, how are we doing?
We do good. How are you doing?
Doing well. So it's just me today. Bart has the day off. So riding solo here for the last hour. So really appreciate you joining us, Sal. You have Eagles-Titans this weekend. And we've been talking about this game as it's AFC-NFC. Like, there's a lot of good inter-conference games going on. But this one's an interesting one because it's two teams that love to run the ball. What are you seeing in this game and who might have the bigger advantage? Because we know the Eagles have struggled to stop the run lately.
Well, I think both defenses will struggle to stop both of these teams from running the ball. Well, the interesting thing to me is, you know, Jalen Hurts' ability to win in the pocket and win outside the pocket as a dual threat quarterback has really emerged as a superpower in this league. I think he's the number one reason why this football team is 10-1, has the best record in the NFL. When you have a dual-threat quarterback who can win also from the pocket, and he's done it pretty well this season, that's pretty good. That's, you know, now you're getting into the realm of Steve Young, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, and I do put him in the same kind of category as a person developed, a player developing like that. And he has been, you know, Allen, he's been really reliable. He's been a great, great leader. He has come to the rescue in the last 3 weeks when they needed it the most. Mm-hmm. I think he's just, in my view, far and away the MVP of the National Football League this season.
That's it's a strong take, but it's not, I mean, it's not to me an outrageous one at all. I mean, we're all talking about Mahomes and just how in control he is once again in this offense. And obviously Josh Allen showed us last night once again. I mean, he was a beast last night. There's a lot of names Yes. You could bring up in this argument. But to bring up Jalen Hurts, when you consider the success of the Eagles and a mildly, I don't know, is it fair to say mildly surprising success of the Eagles? Were we expecting 10-1? I don't think we were. So, you know, you could easily make the argument for him. But I want to touch on something, Sal, because this has been a topic with not just one, but several young quarterbacks in the league. And that is the leadership aspect that you bring up. And it is clear something we saw almost from the very beginning. When Jalen Hurts first went into that huddle, the vets on that team were saying how different it was compared to Carson Wentz. And you see a group that does rally around him and how he is a very selfless guy when it comes to podium and everything else. How critical is, am I overstating that importance as a quarterback?
No, you're not. You're not at all. You know, I've interviewed him several times one-on-one. talked to him quite a bit. Talked to the players in that locker room. You know, I've been covering the team for 30 years.
Yeah.
That's a long time. And, you know, I've seen Randall Cunningham come through, Michael Vick, Carson Wentz, Donovan McNabb. I think that Jalen, being the son of a coach, coached by the son of a coach, these
too,
two guys man. Have an addictive philosophy that has spread to the rest of the team. And also, you have to consider, you know, just Jalen Hurts' personality. He's a grinder, but he's doing it with a real sense of joy. And I think it's permeating throughout the entire football team. You know, he participated with Lane Johnson and Jason Kelce on the Eagles' offensive line Christmas album. You know, he breaks down the team on offense, even though there are some veterans who have won a Super Bowl with that football team. They believe in him. They follow him because it's easy to do that. He makes it easy to do that.
He is somebody that I think is what epitomizes when you talk about the type of quarterback you want as your CEO, face of the franchise type of person, because of that personality, which is why, you know, like the Zach Wilson stuff with the Jets, like Kyler Murray lately, obviously with the Cardinals, those are situations where you look and you think that element's missing. It sure looks different, right? Like you could see potential and talent, but if that element is missing, you have to be worried going forward. And I wonder if that's going to become a bigger emphasis when it comes to drafting quarterbacks. Like, do you think, I mean, I don't know. Is it already?
I think Jalen Hurts is an outlier.
Okay.
In every respect, just because of where he came from, who his mentors have been. You know, we're talking about a guy who was coached in Channelview, Texas by his dad. Mm-hmm. Then he goes to Alabama and is coached by Nick Saban. And then to Oklahoma, and he is coached by an offensive genius there with the Sooners. But let's not underestimate an important part of this, Alan. This young man is super hungry. Left at the doorstep, left at the altar maybe, if you want to say, in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Was second, runner-up in the Heisman. He wants to put the ring on. He wants to put that number one finger in the air. He is super competitive, and he's super strong. There's an interesting dynamic going on. So, you know, our ESPN metrics, they measure the number of hits that quarterbacks take, and I watch it very closely. Why? Well, I cover the Philadelphia Eagles almost full time, and the quarterback in my town is one of the best runners at the quarterback position in the history of the game. So I'm monitoring how many hits he takes. So he's second in hits taken per game to Justin Fields of Chicago, and Fields has been hurt.
Yeah.
Shoulder injury. So this week, after that game in which he ran wild against the Green Bay Packers on Sunday Night Football, Nick Sirianni, who does a superb job of communicating with his players, talked to Jalen about three specific things. One, I want you to slide early. Don't wait until these guys are within hitting range and ready to decapitate you when you're hitting the ground. Two, I don't want you chucking the ball to the outside of the boundary and then lowering your shoulder. What I call, don't pound the sideline for the extra yards. Don't do it. And three, don't take the big hits. Avoid the big hits at all costs. They know that if they got a shot to play late into January and, you know, from my lips to February, he's got to stay healthy. And
yeah.
So they're coaching him up constantly. You know, this is the National Football League. These guys are big and fast, and they want to take you out. So don't let them do it.
Especially December football, right? We get to this time of year, it hurts a little more, but you also now these games matter a whole lot more as well. Talking with Sal Palantonio and Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio. Let's stay in the NFC East because it's another interesting game with the Giants and the Commanders, because the Commanders have really come on, and now they're very much in the playoff conversation. The Giants had a great start, but with the injuries, and I don't know if it's reality or not, setting in as well for them, they look like they're trending the other way. Is this the kind of game that might tell us, you know, all right, that's it for the Giants? It's like time to close the curtains if they don't win this game?
Well, let's take the Giants first, and then we'll take the Commanders.
Right.
So the Giants have been really hurt by injuries, especially in their secondary. And that has limited Wink Martindale's ability to really run the kind of defense that he wants to run, which is blitz, blitz, blitz. He's got the number one blitz percentage in the NFL, and then cover in the back end and hope the blitz gets home. Didn't happen against Dallas in two games. They didn't sack Dak Prescott. So that has hurt them. And the flip side of that is, okay, if you're got to play from behind, that means that takes Saquon Barkley out of the equation. You can't run with him as much as you want. Puts more on Daniel Jones, and Daniel Jones has begun to turn the football over like he did in the last 3 years. So that's where the Giants are. They have to stop the bleeding. They got to draw a line in the sand this week. And, you know, Taylor Heinicke is 5-1. But let's not forget this, Alan, and this is another ESPN metric that I follow closely. How much do defenses contact or hit the quarterback while running or throwing? The Commanders are at 28% of the time. That's the most in the NFL without wow. Chase Young. Wow. They get after the quarterback. They're hitting the quarterback, knocking the quarterback down, getting the quarterback sacks at a rate that no other team is doing. Dallas is number two, but the Commanders are number one. So they're playing good at complementary football right now. That travels well. If Taylor Heinicke doesn't turn the football over, I think the Giants are going to have a hard time winning this game. I really do.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that metric, by the way, is a scary one from a Giant perspective when you consider their offensive line. And Daniel Jones, he does have a history of fumbling as well. So getting hit the way he can run, but still, him out there with those guys bearing down on him, that's a scary metric right there. Look, can I ask you one last thing, Sal, about the Giants? Because this has been a bit of a debate in the New York area. Is if the Giants end up not making the playoffs this year, is it a failed season in your eyes considering the way they started the season? Or because this feels like a rebuild with Joe Shane and obviously Brian Daboll, and there wasn't any expectations like this, that it shouldn't be viewed as a failed season?
I don't think it is a failed season. But they have big, big question marks, right, Alan?
Yes,
they gotta
many.
Decide whether they're going to pony up for Saquon Barkley and Daniel Jones. I mean, those are monster franchise-altering questions. So if they, at the end of the season, say this was a success, then they have to make a decision based on that judgment. If they say it wasn't a success, then they have to make a decision based on that judgment on whether to go forward and how much with those two players. So it's big. In my view, I don't think it's a failed season. But, you know, listen, we're getting ahead of ourselves. There's 6 weeks left. Mm-hmm. They have a chance, like I said, take a stand right here at MetLife against a very good Commanders team that's very well coached where the quarterback's not turning the ball over. In December, again, metric, December football is determined by one thing and one thing only, the quarterback holding on to the ball and not giving it to the other team. By the way, I'm not that smart. All these metrics come from ESPN Stats and Information. My guy, Evan Kaplan at ESPN Stats and Information. Without yeah. him, I don't do my job. So, you know, number one determinant in December football is your quarterback turning the ball over or your team turning the ball over, but it right. starts with the quarterback because the quarterback handles the ball the most.
Sal, don't give away the secrets because I like to sound smart too, and a lot of it has to do simply with SIG and what the thing that they provide for us. Sal, always great to catch up with you. Welcome to December football. All the best to you.
Hey, anytime. Love being on your show. You're the best. Have a great weekend.
Thanks so much. Sal Palantonio, the great one. ESPN reporter, of course. NFL matchup, you got to watch it. It's like the best education you could possibly get each week on the games, and he'll be covering the Titans-Eagles game, which – you talk about a ground battle, no doubt about that. Tune into a football doubleheader Sunday as the aforementioned Giants host the Commanders. That's also followed by Seahawks and Rams, and coverage begins at noon Eastern on select ESPN radio stations. How about this? It's Han Solo. Bart's off today. Let's finish up with calls. We talk to each other. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Spartan Han on ESPN Radio.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Bart and Han.
It's Bart and Han, little Han Solo for you here to take us home for the weekend. ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance gives you protection on the phone, online, or on the app, 24-7, because things happen 24-7. Get a quote at progressive.com. Let's close it out with some calls at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Just like to chop it up with all of you. We've got Mo in Ohio. What's up, Mo?
Hey, what's up? I just want to first and foremost say I love your show, man. Bart and Han rocks, man. I'm calling just to throw a little NBA action up there. Mm-hmm. It seemed like the Heat, after, you know, having what they did last year, and then they had, like, such a quiet off season. Like, what are they doing, like, right now? It just feels like it's, like, they're kind of, like, in the middle of nowhere. And I'm just, like, I just wanted to see what your thoughts were on that. I mean, I'm not, that's all.
Yeah, no, I was wondering when we were going to start getting some of that, you know, the anxiety out of, you know, Miami. And look, I mean, you're always dealing with Jimmy Butler, and when is he going to play? Jimmy Butler plays when it matters most, and that's the playoffs. You know, other than that, you know, you deal with during the regular season, him having injuries. Tyler Hero's been out, and he comes back. He's playing a lot better, you know, and that's important. You know, the Oladipo thing, you know, it's, you know, that Duncan Robinson signing him, you know what I mean? Like, there's some decisions that almost they felt forced to make, and now they realize they were the bad decisions. But I think while they're still a very good defensive team, offensively, they're an abomination. Like, they're just not a good offensive team whatsoever. They don't shoot the three well. Because Duncan Robinson didn't play. Tyler Hero hasn't played a lot. And I wonder if it's sort of like the Tibbs effect in New York, where playing this way kind of grinds on you. And are they starting to lose that, you know, that Heat culture thing that eventually just, it's not easy year after year to have to play as hard as that? And do they have the right pieces there? I wonder if the Heat are going to be one of those teams that will be active once we get deeper into it. Well, the trade season really opens up in mid-December, and you start to see activity. I just wonder if they will be one of those teams. Let's go to New York, talk to Pat. What's up, Pat?
Hey, Alan, love the show. I wanted to bring up a name that I feel like not many people are talking about for a potential next quarterback for the Jets. I mean, everyone's in love with the idea of potentially bringing Jimmy G in, and before I say this, I'm not a Jets fan. I just like to see them do well in this area.
Okay.
I think Gardner Minshew might be a pretty good fit. Bring him in, compete with Mike White if he's still there in the offseason. Obviously, Zach will be there. But I think if Gardner Minshew came in, winds up winning the job, I don't think that's a bad situation for the Jets. And thanks.
No, we're just losing you there because the Minshew mania with the Jets, I'm not seeing it. You know, what's the difference, Gardner Minshew, Mike White? You know, if that's what it's going to be, I just don't know if you're moving on from Zach Wilson that easily, where you're out there looking for a quarterback. Look, if Mike White, you know, pisses down his leg here over the last month of the season and he plays like crap, I guess Joe Flacco is next in line to finish the season before they even go back to Zach Wilson. But if Mike White doesn't look the part, if all of a sudden, you know, again, he turns back into a pumpkin, as they say, and I know that's like kind of a mixed metaphor, but you know what I mean? You got a problem. But I just don't know if that's your solution is Gardner Minshew. You're either going all in on a starter when you look at a team and say, this defense is championship caliber. If you believe that in time this defense could be that good another year, then you can't bring in Gardner Minshew and hope he can compete with Mike White and Zach Wilson. You got to go for somebody that's actually gotten you somewhere. And that would be a Jimmy G kind of move or something else. Look, you never know in the NFL. This stuff, I mean, quarterbacks move all of a sudden. Teams give up on them pretty quickly. And you might have to make that move if you feel like you're that close. But man, I'll tell you what. If Mike White just plays decent football, if they compete with the Vikings, and this is a bigger, again, for the Jets, this game against the Vikings is going to be more about this defense. Testing this defense to see just how good it really is against those weapons that they have there. It's going to be fun to watch. December football, everybody. Enjoy it. I'll see y'all on Monday.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.